Okay, guys, we're going to get started. First of all, welcome everyone on Zoom. We've got a big panel today, so I won't take the time to go screen by screen and greet every one of you by name, but God bless you. Good to see all of you. We love times like this that we can be together. We've got a full room here, but we're ready to begin, and we're going to do that. We've had a very full weekend. As many of you know, one of the things that we've been doing in this last, really almost a year, is there's been a focus on the government of God and more and greater establishment of the government of God. And along the way, we've had opportunity by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. As Sam has been continuing to teach on the government of God, we found that from time to time, we've received a word and a direction from the Lord to ordain certain individuals by the laying on of hands to set some apart. So yesterday, and we've been working on this for 6 or 8 months, working around everyone's schedule, including Sam's schedule, because Sam participated with us. But it worked out that yesterday we were able to bring John and Eunice Girth, who are here in the gathering with us this morning. We brought John and Eunice in from the Nashville, Tennessee area. The purpose of our time together yesterday was to assemble a presbytery of apostles and elders and prophets and prophetesses and come together for the express purpose, with Sam's participation, but for the express purpose of ordaining John Girth as an elder in the body of Christ, and more particularly to the Nashville, Tennessee area. So that's what we did yesterday. We had an incredible day. It was an all-day affair. We laid hands on, commissioned, and sent John and Eunice. We laid hands on, commissioned, confirmed, commissioned, and sent John and Eunice back to Nashville in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ by the laying on of hands for continued work in eldership. Now, John has been an elder for a very long time. In fact, I guess we could say from the foundations of the world. So we're, now that's not a reference to John's age. So y'all stop it now. Just behave. Behave yourselves. John's calling didn't just come along. We didn't put anything into John and Eunice. We didn't make them yesterday something that they weren't already. And they've been functioning in this as leaders in the body of Christ for a very long time. But yesterday we had the public happening of the recognition, confirmation, and commissioning of John as an elder and John and Eunice as leaders in the body of Christ. So we did that yesterday, and we had a delightful day. My gratitude to everyone who was able to be here and join us. Jay and Cheryl have driven in from the Savannah, Georgia area. Keith is here with us from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And these guys have come in to help us and join with us. So we ordained John yesterday. We sent, by the laying on of hands, we sent John and Eunice back to their work. And we anticipate the increase of the grace, increase of the anointing, increase of understanding, revelation, vision, clarity. John and Eunice have a spiritual household that's based in the Nashville area, Brentwood, Tennessee, but extends beyond the immediate city and the immediate regions. Again, we've already welcomed you, John and Eunice, but welcome again this morning to this gathering. And again, thank you, Jay and Cheryl and Keith and all the ones that were here in the city, in the immediate area, for joining with us for the occasion of ordaining John as an elder. So with that said, I'm certain that we will continue to do this kind of work. Melinda and I were with 20 other leaders in West Texas last week, and part of what happened in that time together was not spontaneous per se, but really the rolling out of an administration in which we ended up laying hands on a dear brother that many of you know and his wife, Ronnie and Kim Harris. And we had the opportunity last Friday to lay hands on Ronnie and Kim and publicly announce and declare by the laying on of hands Ronnie as an apostle and sending Ronnie and Kim to their apostolic assignment in the Lubbock, Texas area. So we're seeing a momentum here. We're seeing more of this happening. There's an establishment that's going on in the government of God, and we are very enthusiastic about it. We're not making stuff up. We're following the bouncing ball, and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we're moving forward, coming along in this. So again, God bless you and welcome, and glad to see you all today. I have a word, and I anticipate that part of our gathering time today, that we'll press into some didactic dialogue, some exchange between one another. So those of you on Zoom are certainly as much a part of this today as the folks that are here in the room with us. But I want to begin by setting it up in a certain way. The way that I'll set it up is by saying, and some of you have heard this or you've heard part of this before, but since you heard it, it's expanded in me. The understanding of it has clarified, and I know it to be a word that's a word in season. It's a now word, and it's one of the foremost or front forward words that I'm carrying for the body of Christ in this season. And it began one morning about a month ago at 3:18 in the morning. I was sound asleep, and then I was wide awake. And when I was wide awake, like I was wide awake in that moment, my custom is to look at the clock. It's just a habit. Some of that, I think, is my soul. Like, okay, do I have to wake up now? How many more, how much longer can I stay in bed? So I think it's just a habit in that form. But on this morning, when I looked at the clock read 3:18 a.m. That got my attention because my birthday is March the 18th. So 3:18 is my number. So God has my number now, and He's got my full attention. Secondly, we live in Bossier City, Louisiana, and our area code is 318. So this is a code that God is giving me, or God is giving us, to our area. Our area is our metron. It's our measure. It's our calling. It's the scheme, the plan, the blueprint of God for my life and for our life. I'm not suggesting that every one of us have the exact same calling, every one of us have the exact same destiny, but what I am saying is God has put us together. He's joined us fitly, framed, and joined together, and we're put together for unique purposes in the Lord. So here I am, wide awake in bed, 3:18, I'm hyper-focused, and I hear the word enlarge. Very clearly hear the word enlarge. I get up, and I go to my desk and open my Bible app on my desktop computer, and I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 to look at a passage that I'm familiar with and have looked into countless numbers of times over the decades, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 12 through 16. Again, 318 is my area code. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 12 through 16 speak expressly about and in quite a bit of detail about metron, or a measure of rule. It was language that depicts and speaks to Paul's apostolic measure. So I open the passage, and I'm reading through these verses, and then my eyes fall on a portion in verse 15 that I've read who knows how many times, but a fresh wave of revelation happened from that portion of verse 15. That revelation has expanded into a word for this season. The portion of the verse I'm referring to says this: when your faith is increased, Paul writing to his sons, spiritual sons in Corinth, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you. From that word, from that portion, from the encounter that I had with the Holy Spirit on that morning, the word that has emerged from that is the season of the sun. So I'm announcing everywhere that I'm going and to most everyone that I'm talking to in these days, that we have entered a season and a purpose of God that has expressly to do with not my work per se as a father, though I am a son, but I'm also a father. But the underscoring, the highlighting in this season is not on my work as a father, but it's on your work as a son. Now, I know when I say that, some will think, but I don't have a work. But there's no work for me to do. What is my calling? What is my purpose? What is my destiny? I'm just whatever. I'm just a financial guy. I'm just a construction. I'm just a security. I'm just an entrepreneur guy. I'm just a pediatric dentist. See, that's what the enemy wants to trap us in. Because the nourishment for the body of Christ comes through the joints, and the joint is made up of the members, but we really and truly, genuinely are, the body of Christ is a many-member body. So in 1517, Martin Luther, Wittenberg, Germany, 95 theses, the two primary tenets of the 95 bullet point that Luther laid down was justification by grace, Jesus only, that's number one, and number two, the priesthood of every believer. Now, I don't know if you've looked into the history, because Martin Luther was a Roman Catholic. I don't know if you've looked into the history of what happened after 1570. But I want to tell you, tradition dies hard. It's a long, 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 slow death. If it dies at all. If at all, Jay, it dies hard. So part of the result of the aftermath of Martin Luther's 1517, ring the bell, every person, every believer in Jesus Christ is a priest. Now he himself is a priest in an established institutional form. Now he's ringing the bell, he's giving a clarion call to the body of Christ, to every believer, saying, you're a priest, you're a priest, you're a priest. Every one of you are priests. But tradition dies hard. So eventually, the establishment was scrambling to redefine Luther's word about the priesthood of every believer. So the establishment very quickly ratified what Luther said by laying down layered definition to the priesthood of every believer. So they established, you know, the powers that be put their heads together and they established the distinctions of an ordinary priest. Now, this is subtle. An ordinary priest and an ordained priest. So in a mad scramble to protect the institutional priesthood, the powers that be established the ground rules of how this thing that Luther, because it caught on, see, it got wind in the sail. It got traction among the ordinary folk. So now, in an attempt to manage it, these new levels of regulation come in. Now, by the way, let me say and add very quickly this comment. I'm talking about the Roman Catholic, but believe me when I say the Protestants have their own version of all of this. So the hands of the institutional leaders are not clean with regard to this matter. Now, am I saying every one of them is evil? I am not saying every one of them were evil. I'm saying the enemy's evil. And if the enemy can keep us from the knowledge and the clarity and the understanding of the anointing that rests on you, the calling that God has given you, the destiny that you came with, that came out of eternity past into eternity present, and didn't lodge in or rest in you, you were actually born with it in every waft and every woof and every crack and crevice. It was part of your DNA, part of your spiritual makeup. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we have to be careful when we pick the language that we might prefer to use, that we don't reinforce the idea of an ordinary priesthood. It crawls right up the back of my neck, right along about here, when I hear someone say, well, I've got this little word. If I might, oh great man of God, if I might be permitted to give this little word. There's no such thing. A little word from God doesn't exist. Every word from God is big. Every word from God is needed. It's necessary. It's part of what God intends to do. And I think we're down the road, so I don't want to be redundant here. But I will say, if you're expecting everything from God to come through Sam, God needs to shake that up in you. If you're expecting everything from God to come through me, God needs to shake that up in you. Because the enemy thereby would successfully keep you out of the functionality that God has actually called you to walk in. 3:18, the season of the sun. When your faith is increased, when your faith is increased, will be enlarged by you. That does not mean that your increase will enlarge my ministry. We need to kill that devil too. This is not about my ministry. We all have the very same high calling, son, representational son. That's the high calling of God on your life. And I look across this panel, and I know some of you are functioning every day, day to day, in what many or most would quantify or define as the ministry. But I want to tell you something. Every one of us, every one of you is called to the ministry. Every one of you is called to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So the season of the sun, this is your time to shine. Now, I didn't say you need to run to the street corner, get Bibles and start giving them away. I didn't say open up a food bank. I didn't say start this kind of ministry or that kind of ministry. No. By the leading of the Holy Spirit, however, I believe we're going to see increase and enlargement, increase and enlargement, increase and enlargement. God's going to put people in your path. God's going to have people ring your doorbell. You're going to bump into somebody in the fuel line at the gas station or the grocery store aisle, and you're going to have a word for them. You're going to have an encouragement for them. And look, let's not define having a word for them, and let's not put it in that small box called prophecy. That's one way God can do it. But how about a smile? How about kindness? How about rushing ahead of a lady to open the door and hold it open for? Courtesy, honor. One of the things that I find that we need to see enlargement in is kingliness, the priesthood of every believer. Why? Because every believer is a king priest. He's made us to be, God has made us to be in Christ, kings and priests unto our God. And as kings and priests, we rule and reign with Christ. So most believers have bought into the doctrine of kings and priests. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Maybe I don't know the whole body of Christ. Maybe there are many that don't understand that they actually are, as children or sons of the living God, they are a king and a priest. But assuming that today, in this gathering, we all know that we're kings and priests. That you know you're a king. Let's assume that today. You know you're a king. But then the question becomes, do you know how to walk in kingliness? And that has to do with the way we approach the King of Kings. And it also has to do with the way we approach the other kings. Do I know how to administer? Do I know how to walk in kingly decorum with my brothers and sisters who are every bit as much a king as I am? This is kind of where the rubber meets the road, practically speaking. The season of the sun, we will be enlarged by you when your faith is increased. And that's 2 Corinthians 10, 12 through 16, expressly and particularly verse 15. So more layers of this have been coming. Last week, here's a new layer. Here's the layer that came, and it's not new to many of us, but here's the way God is putting this together for us. Isaiah 8:18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders. In Israel, it says, from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Zion. So who is the sign and the wonder? The children. Yeah. This may be the extent of my note review for the day. What was Isaiah talking about? Because that's who said it. Isaiah said, I and my children are signs and wonders. I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for... I'm a sign and a wonder. The children God has given me are signs and wonders. So what was Isaiah talking about? Two facts. One's prophetic. That's looking forward. That's looking forward to the one who ultimately is the one who would say, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me. So typically, Isaiah is a prophetic type of Christ. I, Christ. Isaiah means God has, or Jehovah rather, Jehovah has saved. Jehovah has saved. So here's a prophet, who by the way is married to a prophetess. Here's a prophet whose name means Jehovah has saved. Well, has Jehovah saved yet in the life of Isaiah? Ultimately, not yet, because the reality is coming, but Isaiah is permitted to see into the Spirit and prophesy and prophetically declare that the day is coming and the one is coming who ultimately and eventually will be the embodiment of Jehovah has saved, Jesus Christ our Lord. So I and the children, I'm going to call on several of you to pronounce these names in a moment. Lord have mercy. Why couldn't it just be Bob and Billy Jim and Fred? You know, three, four letters, one syllable. No. Oh, Lord, I'm not even going to attempt this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or more syllables.
Where are you reading from?
In one of these guys' names, one of the sons of Isaiah. Where am I reading from? How about Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 3? And how about Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 3? Isaiah had two sons. I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. Want a sign? Want yourself a sign? Isaiah was saying, here. His name is Shear-Jashub.
Shear-Jashub.
Linda, pronounce it for us.
Shear-Jashub. Just like he said.
Okay, Dan, you're not looking. Jeremy, come on, Jeremy. Look, you got to look, man. I want you to take a shot at it. Adam, you got it?
Shear-Jashub.
Okay, I think we're agreed that that's close enough.
That was what I said.
Okay.
Close enough.
Shear-Jashub. A remnant will return.
Yay.
You want a sign? Here's your sign. A remnant shall return. That'll be your sign. That's what's going to happen. That's in 7:3, Isaiah 7:3. And Isaiah 8:3, here's the other son. And we won't even try this.
Come on, let's try.
You want to try it, Keith?
Let's go. Well,
get there. We're going to have you try it. Somebody on Zoom, raise your hand if you want to try the pronunciation of the son in Isaiah 8:3.
Nellie can do it.
Yeah. Who's got a hand up? Jimmy Tate? Do you have your hand up? Jimmy's like, nope, can't raise that.
Ma'ashalah
Aspaz. Oh, look at Jimmy go. And the interpretation the of that tongue is what?
Time Jimmy? Trying to say these things.
All right.
Go Tigers.
You can't trust him. You can't trust this guy. We got some Cowboys fans in the room, brother. Don't visit no brief on me.
Two different things.
Okay, come on, bring it in now. Let's collect it. What's his name mean? Here's what it means. The enemy, you're gonna love this, Jack. The enemy will haste to the booty. And that don't mean what some of you think it means. The enemy will haste to the spoil.
Yes.
And be swift to the prey. What is that about?
That's telling us what it's going to be like.
And in Isaiah's day, it's exactly what it was like, because God gave them over, because of their disobedience, God gave them over into the hands of the king of Assyria. And that army, in an outpouring, hasted to the spoil, and, as the name implies, was swift to the prey. Now, behold, I And the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders. Isaiah, standing where he was standing, making this declaration from God and for God, announcing to the house of Israel that they were going to go into captivity, they were going to be routed by the enemy, but also reminding them that a remnant would return and Jehovah would save again and again and again and again and again. And bring that all the way forward into the New Testament. And we'll do that by turning to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll be reading from about verse 10 going forward. For it became him here is Father, him here is God. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation, the captain of their salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he there is Jesus, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them his brethren, saying, I will declare thy name, thy Father. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, ecclesia, called out body of Christ, called out people of God. In the midst of the church will I sing praise to thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. The Son saying to the Father, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given. It's a direct quotation from Isaiah 8:18. And the reference here, the writer is saying, this is what Jesus in his day. Jesus was saying, a remnant will return. Jesus was saying, an enemy will rise. An enemy will rise and captivate and rout some in the earth, in the world. But a remnant will return and Jehovah will save. That's what Jesus was saying. Who is the sign and the wonder?
The whole family.
Sons of God, 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 sons of God. Signs and wonders, every one of you, every one of you is a sign. Every one of you is a wonder. Every one of you, every one of you embodies Jehovah will save. Kelly, Jehovah will save through you. You're the face of God. Kelly, you're the face of, you're the embodiment of Jesus Christ. You are the glory bearer and the presence of God bringer. Never forget it. You're not less that now than you were one day. Your best days are ahead of you. The days of the most powerful manifestations of the living God and the presence of Jesus flowing forth and pouring forth through your life are in front of you, not behind you. And I could go around the room and say the same thing to every one of you. Here, this is important. Let me get there. Isaiah 8:18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs. The word sign here means a signal, as a flag, or a beacon, or a monument, or an omen, or a prodigy. Also means evidence. Evidence. I'm reminded of a verse where John said in the epistle, our hands have handled him. Our hands, my hand, John is saying, I touched him with my hand. My hands handled him. The word handled means to verify by contact. The way some in your life, many in your life, are going to verify that God is God, that Jesus is Jesus, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has come, is by contacting you, the presence of God in you, the anointing of God in you, the power of God in you, the wisdom of God in you. When certain ones contact that in you, they're going to know. They're going to verify. You're the certificate of authenticity. Lynn Loving, you're the certificate of authenticity. So that when some see you, and all won't see you that way, because some have eyes but they cannot see. So, you know, many just still thought Jesus was just a carpenter's boy. But the King of Kings was among them. So Lynn, make no mistake, your best days are ahead of you too. There's a purpose, there's an intention, there's a destiny yet unfulfilled in your life. And And by your life and upon your life and around your life, there's going to be a signal, a flag, a beacon, a monument. You're that mobile tabernacle of God, as Richard will often remind. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 12 through 16. And we won't take the time to go verse by verse, but I want to tell you part of what I'm seeing in this season about the measure of rule. Those of you who know me, you know that I read and I study from the Kenneth S. Weiss Word Studies. Word Studies in the Greek New Testament is one of the kind of the commentaries. It's one of my go-tos. And in reading this passage through, Weiss expounds the translation of these verses by using language like the increase of our apostolic efficiency. I'm telling you, God is not reducing us. God's not reducing, but God's condensed. Anybody ever know what condensed milk is? People start smiling all over the room when I say that phrase. There's this fortification process. There's this concentration that happens. And I'm telling you, as you mature, the Christ in you is being concentrated. How do I know that? Why would I say such a thing? Because Paul said to the Galatians, I'm travailing in pain again until Christ is formed in you. He's saying it to believers. Believers. Paul is saying, I want Christ to be fortified in you, condensed in you. I want to see the manifestation of Christ in you become greater and greater and greater. John would say it this way, I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in the light of the truth. That's a father's joy. And I'm looking around this room and I'm looking on this panel, and I know that there are so many, not just with us, but there are so many that are walking in the light of the truth, maturing, being raised up by God in their respective sphere. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 10, the measure of rule. Paul says such things as we don't measure ourselves by others. We don't compare ourselves with others. That's not why. Paul says such things as, I will not boast in another man's line of, I will not boast. We refuse to boast of things outside of our measure. But we have a measure. I have a measure and you have a measure. We have a measure of rule, apostolic rule. And God's intention is to increase our apostolic efficiency. Doesn't mean everybody's an apostle, but we are an apostolic people, Keith. And of course, we ourselves understand that we are a part of an apostolic company in Europe. And it's this morning, it's Buenos Aires, Argentina, it's Lafayette, Louisiana, it's the Nashville area, it's Lubbock, Texas, it's Tulsa, Oklahoma, it's Central Mississippi, it's Baltimore, Maryland. We are spreading out as a household, but as a tribe or the larger spiritual household, Solon household, we are spreading out in the earth. And today we're in Ukraine, and we're in Central and South America, we're in Mexico, Canada, South Africa, three or four other African nations, and many places in the world by relationship, because we're not building institutions, we're not building institutions. We're working and laboring to build the sons of God one at the time, in the hope that each one would get up on his or her legs, find their place, get clear about their calling, their election, their work in the Lord. And you've heard me say some of these things before, but it will never grow old to me. There's no such distinction in the kingdom of God as secular and sacred. So if God has you as a business entrepreneur and you're in telecom or you're in insurance or you're in professional counseling or whatever God has you doing, my hope is that you're doing that because God sent you there to do that. And by way of God sending you there, you're every bit as much a minister as Sam is, as I am, as any of the others are. You're every bit as anointed. In fact, you're better suited to be there than I am. You're better suited to be there than Sam is. Yeah. Of all the people in the world that God had to pick from, last I looked, God has a pool of everybody in the world. Of all the people in the world that God had to choose from, select and pick from, He picked you. He picked you to send to that place, to send to those people. So the measure, you have a measure. You have a measure of rule. We were with Sam and Lucy last week, and on one particular day, I was able to see Sam's measure. I saw it in the spirit. I saw Sam's measure. I saw the boundaries of the measure, and I saw that the measure was, I'm making up a number here, that the measure was 65% filled out. There's more to come. I gave that word to Sam. I gave that word to the group out in West Texas. There's more work for Sam to do, to fill out, to work in concert and sync with the Holy Spirit for the measure to be filled out. And when the measure is full, see you later. The race will be run. Sam's race will be run. His mission and assignment will be complete. And who would want to stay beyond that?
Amen.
But that's not today. There's work for us to do, and I mean us, big U, big S, underscore, 8-time highlight, and three of my favorite color pens that I keep handy on my desktop. There's work for us to do. Justin and Heidi, there's work for you to do. There's a work in front of the two of them. In fact, Justin and Heidi, you are us in your generation. You are us in the next couple of generations after me. Your generation, and certainly the generation of your children. You are us. There's work for you to do. So we had the privilege yesterday of sending John and Eunice to their work. It's not my work. It's their work. Jay and Cheryl are here. They have a work. Buck is here this morning. He has a work. Everyone in this room has a work. No such thing in the kingdom as secular. There's no big I, little you. Doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. Every member of the body of Christ is critical. The role, the vision, the purpose, the intent of God for every single member of the body. So you've heard me say it. You make an awesome you. You make a lousy somebody else. Yeah. Don't try to be me. I won't try to be you. Let's don't try to be Sam. You be you. You do you. By the leading of the Holy Spirit, continue to mature. God is raising you up. You're the sign and you're the wonder to the places that God sends you, to the work that God has called you to do. My hope is that this message will confirm some things in you, but will also stir you to inquire. Not press you to run out and do, but stir you to inquire of the Lord about your work. Being stirred prophetically, Kathy, the day is coming. You'll no longer edit my work and sounds, but you'll edit your own work. I see books in you, not a book, but I see books. I see your ability to write, your ability to put words together is stellar. God has trained you not just as a helper, but God has trained you as a leader. God has trained you and has raised you up as a voice, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And it may be novels, and it may be a variety of things that God would put into your heart to do. But today, I'm believing that the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, right now, even in this moment, is enlarging you, is pouring into you, that there's a realization, a reality, a revelation that God is sparking and bringing up into you that was always a part of you from before the foundations of the world. So, we love you, and we love the things that you do to help us. You're an incredible helper, but that's not all. That's not. There's more for you to do. I believe God is, a trumpet is going forth in the earth, calling people up, stirring people. I believe a remnant will return. Jimmy, when I said that, there's a remnant that's going to return in your direction. A remnant will return in your direction. They'll be your kind. They'll be a perfect tissue match for you. They won't belong in another place. They won't belong with another father, another leader. They'll belong with you. I know you and Linda are already doing good work. We commend you for the work that you're doing. Keep up the good work. Jimmy, I'll say publicly to you, any way that we can help you with your work, any way that we can invest in you, encourage you, any way that we can serve you, I hope you would call on me, call on us, because we love you, we believe it. And though we haven't had a lot of contact over the years, you've never you've never gone out of our hearts, never gone out of my heart. And I know Keith is here, and Keith and Kim are one of the close sets of relationships for you and Linda. So I see a remnant returning, brother. I know you've been faithful. At times you've been faithful with a little. You've been faithful with a little. I know at times God has been able to trust you with the least of thee. But I'm saying to you, I see a stream of those who will result, or who will, rather will be a remnant, the portion of a remnant that returns in your direction. So God bless you, you and Linda.
I want to add to that.
Come this way, Adam, before you start talking.
I just want to address Brother Jimmy. When I had first moved to Lafayette for a number of years, I had sent Jimmy a message, and I was asking about the churches in the area. The statement that Jimmy sent back was, "We've got a lot of good churches, but nothing like City Church." I wanted to say to Jimmy, you do have that. You do have that. Just the commending and the assigning is it's a blessing.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lord. Let's open our time now for discussion and for comments. And let's do so by inviting those of you on Zoom to have the first opportunity. If there's a comment or some contribution that you feel stirred to make or give, please raise your hand or make some sign so that I can call your name. Hey, Havard, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. You know, it's interesting, one of the things that you talked about today is something that I thought about yesterday with the Earth's event. One of the things I was going to say to them was what I was seeing was depth, not breadth. And thinking about what you were saying about condensed milk, you know, kind of concentrating what we're doing, that seems to be the same word that I had for them. Okay, so I'm not the only one getting the feedback.
I think that we've got one or two on Zoom that have their audio is not muted, so please check your audio and make sure it's muted. See, Marie, your audio, Marie, is not muted.
She's like, no.
Well, that was what I was
sensing,
was that this is a time to go deep, to focus, not try and spread it out and dilute the effort, but to be extremely concentrated. And it was what I was going to say to John and Eunice yesterday, but it seems like today fits even better.
Very good. Havard, thank you very much. Someone else on Zoom? Now, if you don't have your video on, if you don't have your video on, please understand I cannot see you. Hey, Jane, please unmute your mic.
Now.
Okay. Jane Merritt.
I just wanted to speak a word of encouragement. Michael,
yes.
I so relate and agree with all that you have said. I am seeing sons and take their places. And it is such an encouragement. And I just thank you for your words. I so appreciate the sons are coming together in the places where they're to be and going forth. And it's a real encouragement. And thrilled that you recognize Dawn and Eunice yesterday. My heart.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just a word of encouragement and saying hello, everyone. Love you.
Okay. Jane, thank you so much. Someone else. Did you have something, Sean? Carol Ann?
I was just going to suggest that when we talk, if you mute, there won't be the feedback loop.
Okay. Thank you. Marta.
Oh, I just wanted to say, Michael, while you were speaking, I was just really reminded of God bringing us. He said he is the vine and we are the branches. And so that uniting there is very striking to me, because Christ is the one that gives us the grace through the Holy Spirit to be able to do our work. See, and we produce the fruit. So thank you for all that you have said.
Thank you very much, Martha. And let me just say, while I've got you, your work in intercession, though hidden from most, your work is unbelievably valuable. It's critical. So never entertain the voice of the accuser in the accusation that your work is not, that your work isn't believable, that your work isn't fruitful, that your work isn't measurable, quantifiable. I know that you're praying for us. I know that you are. And I know that you're praying for many. I know that you are. So keep up that good work. Though it's a hidden part, it's an invisible part, at times it's a critical part to the work that we've all been called together to do. So thank you. I honor you, recognize you for your good work. Thank you, Martha. Someone else on Zoom? Jane?
So sorry. I just thought of one more thing that I really would love to share, Michael. When you spoke that we, person is so important, some of you do not know, I have a cancer. I wish I had the wisdom and insight that you had, and the words she said so wise. It told me, Jane, God has a June, he needs a Jane. And I want to speak that to everyone. God has whoever maybe you think you would like to be like. He needs you. I just wanted to speak that.
Wonderful.
See if they can hear you with this muted.
Can you guys hear me on Zoom? Wave at me if you can hear me. No? No.
Okay. Do I have to take this back on?
Okay, we're having to toggle back and forth on my mic or my audio, so that's a little cumbersome. Apologize for that. Someone else on Zoom, please. Ebony, you're unmuted? No? Okay. Anyone else on Zoom? If not, we're gonna turn to the room. Yes, go ahead, Marie.
She needs to
unmute.
Yeah, you need to unmute.
She just got muted.
I don't know if I can do it. No. If it's here, I don't know. What's her name, Marie?
Okay, Marie, you got it. You got it.
I'm not too techie.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to bless you, Michael, for letting me know that I'm queen with the Lord. Mm.
That you're what? Say it again, please.
I wanted to say thank you for letting me see that I'm the queen of the Lord. I thank you for that.
Well, you are.
Because I keep forgetting.
You are. You're a critical part of the work of God in the earth. And God did not make a mistake by having you here at this time. You've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. So, who is your spiritual father, by the way?
My spiritual father is Jeff Spring.
Okay. Have a conversation with Jeff, upcoming, if you will, please, about how Jeff and Chris see you in terms of your part, your role, your work in the body. And you may be very clear on those things. But if not, pursue that. Intentionally pursue that, because your part is every bit as valuable as mine, every bit as valuable as everyone else. And we need you, and we need one another. And thank you for speaking up. And we will pray for you that you yourself also will encounter and enjoy enlargement of God in this season of your life.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Marie. Anyone else on Zoom? If not, we're going to turn to the room. Heidi, please.
Okay.
Heidi Kaufman. Justin and Heidi are in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Go ahead, Heidi, please.
I just wanted to comment about the part where you were talking about the little word from God. That was really me. It was really good. And I felt like the Lord saying, it's not just that whatever I say to you matters, but that I'm responsible. Just do it well.
That's good.
I mean, there's grace if I don't deliver that, but I'm responsible, honor, and steward the word that he gives me. And if I'm going to put any focus on anything, I should be focusing on God helping me to do that rather than trying to be like someone else.
Yeah. Perfect.
So that's the thing God has me on.
That's so good.
Well, that's perfect, Heidi, and thank you for saying that. You're exactly right. Your part is your part, and I can't do your part. You can't do my part. So thank you guys for being who you are to the body of Christ. Not what you're going to be, but what you are today and who you are today in the body of Christ. I commend you both, and I'm grateful that we're in this walk together. Someone else on Zoom?
Can I say something?
Oh, yes. Jeannie Hare in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Jeannie, please.
It's just a scripture that God gave me a lot more. I feel like it fits today. It's in Psalm 119:54. God, teach me lessons for living so I can see the cross. Give me insight so I can do what you want me to do. My whole life long, one long obedience. Guide me down the road of commandments. I love traveling. Life is about just being obedient. And this, for me, I need to do what I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
Yes, underneath all that, but now that obedience.
Yeah. Perfect.
Thank you for them.
Thank you, Jeannie. Good to see you. Anyone else on Zoom?
I hope this is helpful.
Let's shift to in the room. If you have something, I'm going to ask you to walk up here, because sometimes they can't. We can hear you, but they can't hear you on the Zoom panel. So if you will, just step forward and stand somewhere in here and give what God's given you.
This is kind of it's cursory, but at the same time, I think it's starting tomorrow. We're moving to a 10-digit area code. Everyone's going to have to type 318. And we're going to be getting a new area code, and the area code is 457. And Isaiah 45, starting in verse 7, says, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, the Lord, have created it. And I think this is kind of hitting home where we're at right now. Woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles? Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, with what are you in labor? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and the one who formed him, ask me of things to come. Will you command me concerning my children and the work of my hands? I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens and commanded all their hosts. I have stirred him up in righteousness, and I will make all his ways level. He shall build my city and set my exiles free. Not for price or reward, says the Lord of hosts.
Beautiful. Thank you, Adam.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. That's Adam McWinney. Anyone, someone else in the room? Buck McGee, please.
This is from Genesis chapter 14, beginning at verse 14. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went to pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. Many of our brothers and sisters have been taken captive into Babylon and institutional religious systems, and we've been trained in the house so that we can go and recover them.
Amen. Amen. Buck McGee. Thank you, Buck. Someone else in the room, please.
I think I got to play off of that.
We've been taken captive in Babylon, and we talked some yesterday about how we get locked into the culture of the world, and we're tied into our little associations of this world and even friends and family instead of the culture of God. And out of Babylon, there was one group, a remnant. We've been talking remnant, and they came out. And these are the type of the first fruits. These are the wave offerings. This is the type God is looking for. They have to leave Babylon. They have to leave all this worldly culture, all this natural thinking, all this gunk from Adam. You need to leave that and become a remnant for God. And now here's a verse, and we're all very familiar with it, but I couldn't escape it. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son to the perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is about the measure being filled up. And see, everything's not done till Christ is all and in all. You definitely want to be on that arc. You want to be in the all in all, and it's not over till it's all in all.
That's good.
And we talked yesterday some about, it just happened to be something that plays into this, about how we get that filling, how we get our, how we get Christ in us. First, we got to get us out. You know, think about the vessels that were filled with the wine. First, they had to be empty before they could be filled. But we talked a little bit about partaking and how it's a give and a take. And that's what ministry is. We all have a Christ in us. We're all a priest. And we all should be giving Christ to each other and filling up the measure that is in each of us. And we're giving that out. And the part of the thing that was give and it shall be given to you. You see, that's partaking. I have a part and you have a part that I'm taking. Partaking. You're taking part of me, I'm taking part of you. We're partaking. And so that's how our measure gets filled. We let each other minister Christ. And that is the business of our kingdom.
Good. Tom Van Hoogen, thank you. Someone else in the room, please.
It's Gretchen.
Gretchen Crawford.
I was just thinking. I don't carry a tune very well. And, you know, when you sing and people don't want you to sing. But God showed me in worshiping him that he has a choir that's all of us. And he misses my harmony in the midst of it.
Good for you.
That I'm part of it, and when he doesn't hear me sing.
Yes, Lord.
That he misses it. And that's for all of us. We all matter. We're all part of everything.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Gretchen. Anyone else in the room?
Over here. Mike.
John?
Just a short, simple word about how I know that this word you brought today, this is a very timely word. The season of the sun. Now, the message existed back in the Reformation. It came forward. But it wasn't time for it to be properly governed. The governmental structure of the kingdom had not yet been established. So what they did was they created something. The system, institutional system, created a government to try to govern something that it was impossible for it to govern. So all I wanted to say was, looking at the situation through that lens, what Sam has brought to the house regarding the government of God, that has put the government, God's government, revealed from heaven in place for us to now use, so that the sons in this season can rise up, stand on their feet, be put in their places, and the body of Christ be built up as the body, as the Holy Spirit fitly joins the pieces together under God's governmental structure. So God knew that the Reformation, the message that Luther brought forward about the priesthood of all believers, the message was true. The government was not in place, but now it is. Mm-hmm. So expect to find your place through God's government in this time and season so that the body can be built up truly as God intends.
Wonderful. Thank you, John. Thank you. John Gurry. Someone else in the room.
Michael, I'd like to address John from the Word of the Lord.
Yep.
I kept looking over at John, and the Word of the Lord came, wisdom should speak. He said, I have given John the tongue whose it is the pen of a ready writer. You're a man that speaks with wisdom, not a man of a lot of words, a man of intellectual, a man of powerful. But don't limit what God is doing because he has equipped you for this time, this season. You bring a depth. Wisdom should speak. Be a man that's ready to speak for the Lord at any moment, at any place.
Amen. Good word. Thank you, Kelly. Kelly Hensley. Anyone else in the room today, please? Someone else, anyone else on Zoom today?
Go ahead, Jay.
Just kind of what John was saying, I was brought to Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And what God is doing with the government is we don't need to build an institution. We don't need to build a cistern to hold the living water because we don't have to worry about it ceasing. This water is going to continue to flow out to all of his people, to everyone across the earth. And we don't need to build anything to hold it. We just need to be those vessels that carry it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Jay. Jay Mullins. Anyone else? In the room? On Zoom? Anyone else? Well, I think
Michael?
Yes, who is it?
This is Sean Smallman at the GBB.
Yes, Sean, go ahead, please.
Would you first mute your mic? Thank you. Tomorrow is the first day of school for my students. I've been spending the last couple weeks preparing for them. So today's word was very timely, about this priesthood of believers and being put and sent exactly where I'm sent for such time as this. So I really appreciate that. You know, on my bulletin board in my classroom, I'm a Spanish teacher, and in Spanish I put "Let there be light" on a black background with some little mini posters in Spanish showing students how they can communicate in the language. And I felt like I can justify that because it also means let there be enlightenment or be the light, which is a nice little trendy thing said a lot of time in the secular world, but there is no difference between secular and sacred. And so that reminded me that also to me, as I'm standing in front of the class or walking around, whenever I see that, when it says let there be light, that could equally be translated as be light.
Yeah.
It's a command to be, not just a opening suggestion. And so I think just like when Jesus was on the cross, he saw me as he died. I think the Father, as he said, let there be light, he looked across the eons and generations and he saw me and you and each one of us, and he commanded, let there be light. be light. We are children of light. We walk in light, not in darkness. And the light of Christ shines upon the world through us. So anyways, that's where I got a personal connection with today's discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. I think we've come to a place of fullness for the day. I believe we've covered the ground that we should have covered. We've done what should have been done. And I believe we'll conclude here. But I want to do that by offering a prayer for each one of us. As a collective today, our Father, we are the children that you, as our Father, have given into the earth at this time of human history. According to your word, we're the signs and we're the wonders. As Sean just said, we're the light that you're sending into the world, sending into the dark places of the world. My prayer today, Father, is that you would strengthen everyone with might in the inner man, that you would increase and improve our vision, our understanding of your ways and your intents, your intentions for our lives in this time of our lives. Now today, I commend each one to God and to the word of his grace, which is able and is in fact continuing to build each one up and enlarge for each one their individual inheritance. And as a result, there's this corporate inheritance that you're rolling out, that you're dispensing into the earth. Your kingdom is an ever-increasing kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. Thank you that you've called us to be a part of this great house, this great work in this time of human history. You've anointed everyone, sent everyone, gifted everyone. Give us eyes to see, Lord, how our part fits, what our work is, how we are to go, what we are to say. We trust you. We trust the leadership of the Holy Spirit to do all of that and do it for every one of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And amen. Karen Moreno and Miguel. I'm going to stop you. Miguel.
Scotty. Hi, Justin.
Hello, Miguel. Beloved brother, how are you?
Yeah, good.
So wonderful to see you, Miguel.
The
same.
And Patricia. And Patricia, how is Patricia?
We shall finish the outward service, so she's ministering someone.
Very, very good. Well, it's wonderful to see you both, and please tell Patricia that I said hello and send my love. And it's my understanding that we will see you in October.
Yes.
We look forward to it. God bless you, Miguel, and thank you, Karen, and God bless you also to Patricia. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Saludos, aparte.
Gracias, gracias, amigo. Gracias, hermano. Bye-bye. Feel free, if you're on Zoom, feel free to unmute your microphone and say hello. But wonderful again to see you all.
I guess I should unmute on this side. I can help you all out.
Have a wonderful day.
No.
Brad, good to see you again. Brenda? Darren, it's good to see you today. Good to see you, Darren. Georgia? Grant, B?
Much, maybe.
Yeah, God bless you.
Thank you.
Good to see you all. Good to see you all.
How about you guys today?